Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Soap Cinema Club, and it is our Christmas special.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm Colson Smith, and I'm joined by...
Hold on, what?
No, carry on. Say Jack P. Shepherd.
Jack P. Shepherd.
Ho, 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 Ben Price.
It's like the thing...
That's what you have to do it every time someone says Christmas special. Ho, ho, ho.
It's the game, isn't it, where you have to say something and the person has to say what you said and something else, and then you'd have to say what I said and what he said and...
What are you talking about?
It's a game.
Is it?
Yeah. The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together
and
educate each other on films. Each week we get together and discuss the films that we should have seen, but we haven't. But it hasn't been each week because we're currently out of series.
How long has the break been, do you reckon? When was the last time we did one?
A month or so? Six weeks?
No, it must be
longer than that.
Have you missed us?
Hopefully. About my mum has. Jack's mum asked, she commented on Instagram saying...
Well, I've not spoken to her since.
you only speak for the review. And my parents don't listen. So there we go.
So, because it's our Christmas special, all the films are obviously Christmas films. So I've picked my favourite Christmas film of all time.
Favourite?
Love Actually.
Very good.
And after this podcast, the boys are going to pick theirs. So, Love Actually. But before we get into that, it's not how's our week been, no. It's how's the last 3 months.
Yeah, but I think...
And a lot has happened.
A lot's happened, but I think we have to address... First off, you left the country.
I did leave the country.
You got a passport. You got a rucksack, which we had to pack for you.
Tried it.
First go packing the rucksack, put on the back. It was as heavy as me.
Yep.
Then it might as well have been a tent. It was that big.
It was a big old number, wasn't it? Then we had a discussion... We took some toiletries out, some other things. Then you got your backpack.
You got rid of my giant shower gel.
He literally took, you know, like the big shower gel, the one you don't take out of the shower.
The Costco shower gel.
Yeah. Just in case, where he's going, didn't have shower, they didn't wash. So, Coulson, would you like to reveal where you've just been for 2 weeks?
I've just been in Southeast Asia, Thailand.
Hey!
The worst thing about a backpacking holiday is the backpack. Like, there's no way of explaining how excruciatingly painful it is to walk with a bloody backpack that weighs 20 kg on you, like.
So why Thailand? Lead us through that. Why did you pick Thailand?
It was kind of the... I'd just been to Prague, hadn't I? And I didn't want to go short haul. I wanted to go long haul. And
you've done Australia, New Zealand, America.
I've done the States. I'd never done Asia. That's one thing I've not done. And Thailand is like a place to go. And I think it's one of the main places that's in season in November.
Yeah.
So I kind of went, yeah, let's go for it.
But did you know much about it? You didn't, did you? Because I'd been and I gave you my...
You did, and you also told me off because I only booked my flight like 3 days before I went.
I remember this.
And Ben was like, have you had the jabs? And I went, what jabs?
What jabs? I've taken some paracetamol, I'll be fine.
So then whilst I was there...
Wow. I've got some suntan cream. That gets rid of everything, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. And I've got a big shower gel so I can wash it off if I get anything.
Refuse to drink tap water. Refused to have ice in drinks. I did fine.
That's fine.
And then I mentioned, the second thing I mentioned was...
Don't eat the seafood.
But also I mentioned... Which
why not?
Back,
why can you not eat the seafood?
Well, you've got to be a bit careful. In certain... it depends where you are. Actually, to be fair on Coulson, where he was, I think you were next to the beach, so it would have been
Fifi.
Fine.
You called it Fifi?
I wasn't in Fifi. I was in Koh Lanta. And I was
Which
sat...
Which everyone else is Pee-Pee.
Pee-Pee, yeah. I was sat on the beach, and the waiter came over and went, what would you like? And I went, I'll have the prawns to start,
because
please.
Probably for the 2 weeks, you've been pretty good. You've had the Thai food,
and
Thai green
I'd
curry.
I avoided seafood, because yeah. I was like... And then I was sat on the beach.
Mm,
yeah. Like, how can you not have seafood on the beach?
Mm.
Well, anyway, I'm not doing it again.
No.
I've lost about a stone and a half in 7 days. I've had one banana and 3 slices of toast.
In 7 days?
Seven days.
You've had something this morning, haven't you?
I have. I've had scrambled egg this morning.
Okay.
Obviously, with no butter, just egg, because I can't have any of that yet.
Good
but
time away.
I am on the mend now.
Good time. You did a lot of islands, didn't you? Enjoyed Bangkok.
Bangkok was... mint. Been busy city, massive, loads to see, loads to do, different culture, completely different, like the streets of the restaurants, like there's no restaurants.
What?
Like if you...
That's a whole factor, I never realised. There's no restaurants in Thailand. So how did you have the seafood?
I cooked it myself.
Like, I mean, I'm there sure are. That the locals know, and there's like fine dining places, but
you
eat on the pavement.
On the street.
Yeah.
You eat off the street.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
You know what I mean.
You know what I mean.
It's all like, it's obviously
not
like
burger food
van.
To go
yeah.
and whatnot.
But no, it's not
burger
food
van,
to go.
Imagine. Burger van, oh, thank goodness.
It's not food to go. Oh. It's you sit down, they bring you a menu, you get your drink, you order, you're on the pavement or on the road, and then they bring you food over, you take your time.
That sounds awful.
I think
table
I think
for one. Like yes, it. Give me a second.
Yes. Yes.
The amount of time, the awkwardness of... Just one person. Yeah, just table for one, please.
I'm sure there's a lot of that in Thailand.
There's loads. I think it's... I personally wouldn't want to do it any other way.
Right.
I wouldn't want to go with someone else.
Yeah, like a party of five. And
yeah, like...
People want to go there.
Well, people fall out when they go on holidays, don't they? Because it's the sort of thing that people want to do on their own. Because everyone wants to do their own thing.
Exactly. I think it is. I think it does cater Thailand for that type of holiday.
Yeah.
Where, do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
The way you said it, it was like we were on a program, on a holiday program.
Yeah.
I think Thailand does cater for that kind of holiday, the one-person adventurer.
It's a review, so you can go to Thailand for £9.99.
But I think you're right, you've got to be with someone who's, like, cool, haven't you?
You've either got to be with your best mate or on your own.
Yeah. On your own.
And you meet people as you go, you have an evening with them, then you never have to see them.
You pie them when they've bored you.
It's brilliant.
And they've said,
did you meet
you
any
Craig on the
randomers? People you would stay in contact with?
No. The one other thing about Thailand that I haven't told my mum, I hired a scooter, like a motorbike.
Oh, right, okay.
And it was mint.
You were all right on it?
All right after a bit. I was on a very quiet road and then I was fine. Didn't come off. But one thing that I didn't realise is obviously...
Is anything weird when you're driving on the motorbike? Like people with a motorbike and then the wardrobe that they're carrying on the back. Have you seen that?
I saw that. When I was in Nepal, I saw that. The family on the back.
Yeah. No word
the full family. Yeah. And the baby at the front.
Yeah. No word of a lie. Baby at the front.
Yes.
Mum. Dad. On dad's shoulders.
No.
Baby. Literally 4 people on one bike.
Brilliant.
It is mental. Like... completely crazy.
Oops. So, ladders.
Sofa.
I'm on the scooter, loving life. Obviously, I wear a lot of sun cream. I need to. But when I'm on the scooter, the one thing that I don't really think about is putting sun cream on my feet. Because your feet never really get burnt,
well, you've got your Wheezy's on. Why would you?
I had flip-flops on.
Oh,
they were actually Birkenstocks. And my feet were so sunburned, it was ridiculous. And that was the day I got ill.
How long were you on the bike? Was that an hour or two?
I hired it for the day.
And then, but you'd go a long way?
I just went up the coastal road to the national park and then, like, back up to, like, the top of the island and then back to the hotel and I was like, that's me done. But I felt ill, didn't I? Because I was ill the night before.
And then you came back and then you said, oh, I've been ill.
I came back. Came straight to see both of you two, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
But, I mean, I'm a bit more with it this afternoon than I have been for the rest of the time, but obviously slightly jet-lagged. Straight to see you two. And then back into the swing of things now.
Then we watched the film.
Bit of work.
Then we went and watched...
Love Actually
with a live orchestra.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole different conversation, isn't it?
Well, it's a game changer.
It is
for
game
that
changer.
Kind of film. It's a game changer, isn't it?
Well, we
can't
went
be for
out.
Every film.
We weren't in the flat.
No,
we were in the flat. We were out.
We'll save that for when we get into talking about the films. Is there anything else that you've?
No,
got
I think we've covered it in Thailand.
Are you not going to talk about your film?
Oh yeah,
that's
Ben
quite
made
a big deal.
I made a film.
You have made a film.
Yeah, made a film. Yeah, which is great.
I've been on a few holidays. Ben's made a film. What have you done,
Jack? I've just been at work.
I've been carrying the show.
Listen, I filmed Christmas. Christmas in Coronation Street is taken care of. So that's done.
Nobody worry.
It's done. You.
Christmas is under control. Right. Love Actually with a live orchestra at the Bridgewater Hall. So, obviously, we watched it last night. Mm.
Good venue. Can we talk quickly about the venue?
Very good venue.
Very good venue.
I've never been.
I've never been.
Bridgewater Hall.
Great seats.
So much space.
Middle of the stalls.
Great seats.
You've got enough space for when that woman, midway through...
starts dancing.
She got up, danced, and then the other woman had too many drinks. Quick, I've got to go to the loo.
I've got to get out.
Bombed past us and spilt everyone's drinks on the way through.
Yeah.
But there was enough room for her to get through.
Yeah.
Mint venue.
Great venue. Let's talk about, I don't think any of us can deny this, how good that orchestra was.
Oh, they were mint.
Well, I mean,
conductor, Ben Palmer, shout out.
Yeah.
I said, you know when? He came out and everyone was clapping and Ben's like...
Brilliant.
And I went, who is he? Is he a big deal? And Ben was like, Ben Parker, massive.
Palmer, massive. Never heard of him. To be fair, though, weren't they mint? Gave
they
it
were
the old
so
overture.
Good.
And then the greatest bit was they gave it the overture, which is like no screen. The screen's behind them.
Yeah.
Cinema screen's behind them. We're sitting there, orchestra in front. Then you get the bit before the film starts, which is the Universal. And they played the Universal music.
Yeah.
And that was... Everyone went...
Oh, yeah. They got an extra round of applause.
They got an extra round of applause. They clapped before they came on, didn't they? They came on before they played anything.
Yeah.
Clap, bow. Then they did the Universal theme. I'm like, head
but
fell
it was,
off.
That Very was good. Mint. And it was loud. And both of you two were like, oh, this is going to be all right,
But it
actually.
Wasn't like... it. Were, I know this might sound a bit crass. It was exactly
seamless.
Seamless, like you're like watching the logo and they played it exactly the same, you're like, and everything was timed. She was giving the old full beans on the old violin, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, great.
The timing of the whole film was spot on. Like, I've watched that film a lot. I think 2006.
Three.
I asked you mid-film, didn't I?
And I said six.
2003. Crikey.
Love Actually, Christmas film.
Crikey.
It's a story of love and romance at Christmas.
So it's a few stories, isn't it?
It is a few stories, and it's... Is it five couples?
It's about that.
It might even be more. And they're all different love stories, aren't they?
In love.
There's probably 10 couples, actually.
Falling in love. Falling out of love.
Falling out of love. Having love that you shouldn't have. Having love that, you know, and all that kind of it. Untold love stories. And it follows, I bet it does follow 10 characters.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. And when you watch it, you kind of, it jumps from story to story, but they're also all interlocked.
Yeah.
So every character has a connection that, not, they don't always know about, but, you know, there's two characters who work as stand-ins. And then there's a character who's the assistant director there, who's the best mate of another character.
Linked,
You know, everyone's linked. It's a very clever film. It's Richard Curtis.
It was his directorial debut.
Was that his first one?
It was his first film.
What about his first written one?
No, he's wrote like Four Weddings and. You know.
Okay.
Hugh Grant,
mint cast.
Emma Thompson.
Mint cast.
Alan Rickman.
It's hard to do a synopsis, actually.
Well, I think you've just done it there. It's a love story of multiple characters in London and they're all interweaved.
Yeah. Some have lost a love and they find love through another way, Liam Neeson.
Mm. Yeah.
Some want love and how they approach that. Some are in love and lose it.
Mm. Some are looking for love and
can't
find it.
Some are looking for love and can't find it. So it's all sections of love.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of characters in there, but it's quite... Well, it might be different, but I think it's quite easy to pick out the standout story threads in...
Well,
film.
What are your standout story threads? Because it's your film.
Hello.
Oh, no phones on set. Oh,
sorry.
And it's his girlfriend. And he has done the awful thing of slightly checking it.
Well, you need to, just in case it's an emergency.
You're going
to
reply as well.
Can you stop off at the shop on your way home?
What
Very
for?
Important.
Wine gums. I've got some.
For me, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, and the secretary.
That's your favourite story?
Maybe not my favourite.
Favourite. Why?
Why not my favourite?
No, well, why does that stand out for you?
I think me and Ben have already spoke about this, of how good Emma Thompson is and seeing her heartbroken whilst seeing...
So just quickly for the viewer,
a synopsis of that.
A synopsis of that story would be good.
So Alan Rickman and Emma Thompson, their characters are together. They've obviously been married a long time. They've got two kids. Alan Rickman, they own like a marketing company. He's the big director, and his secretary has made a few like flirty gestures and a few suggestions.
So quite overt.
Oh, yeah, God, and yeah. She opened her legs while sat down.
That was a giveaway, wasn't it? That was
a desk.
A desk. And then organised the Christmas party.
She's very out there. Yeah.
Mm. So they're organising the Christmas party.
His head gets turned.
He's confused, isn't he?
Is he?
I don't think he is.
I think he switched right on there.
I think he knows.
As soon as
exactly.
he realised, I think he did a double check and then he went, yes. Oh, hello, Christmas party, here I go.
So Christmas party, and she has the line of, I've got the venue, it's my friend's art gallery, it's very dark and it's full of dark corners. Mm. They're doing dark things.
I bet you. And all I need is some mistletoe.
So then he knows the crack, and she also, he buys her a necklace. So this is the thing, he buys her the necklace, and Emma Thompson kind of catches him hanging around in the jewellery section. As they go home one night, she takes his coat off him, and she feels a box in his pocket. She looks, it's a necklace. She cannot wait to have it on Christmas Day. So excited. Christmas Eve comes, they pick a present on Christmas Eve. Who did anyone actually do that, by the way?
Yeah, it's the thing. You get to open one.
We were never allowed.
Yeah, I don't.
And
I don't
pajamas
think we
on Christmas Eve, isn't that a thing as well?
Stockings.
Pajamas.
No, where that. My mother in law, they open one present before Christmas Day.
Yeah.
They actually have quite a big Christmas Eve. I think it's, I don't know where it's like more European. Christmas Eve is quite big. Rather than Christmas Day. But you open one present, of course, the kids go straight to the biggest present. You go straight off. Not the biggest present. That one. Not that. Not the bike, which is quite clearly a bike, because I can't be arsed to wrap it. Not the bike.
with the bow on.
With the bow and a tiny bit of wrapping on the handlebar, because I'm not wrapping the whole bloody lot, because I'd be in W.H. Smith's for the rest of the week.
So she spots the present that looks like a bracelet.
Exactly. Exactly the same box, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly the same shape.
And the card says, something, sorry for being such a grump.
Yeah. And she says before she opens it, thank you so much for this. Like she knows what it is. She opens it up and it's a Joni Mitchell album.
Well, it's not Joni Mitchell.
It's Joni, and that's her favourite music, but Joni is probably a rip-off from Bangkok. Have you got any Joni Mitchell? No, I've got Joni Mitchell, though. Brilliant. I'll tell you what, you'll never know. I'd love that. If you went to a music shop, there's a whole load of HMB, then there's HMW. It's exactly the same, slightly different. Joni Mitchell, and she gets a Joni Mitchell CD.
And as she opens that, you see her...
The realisation then...
Well, she almost breaks down.
Well, the realisation is the necklace has been bought for the girlfriend, not for her.
And she says, can you just excuse me? Goes to the bedroom, kind of pulls herself together, and from then on, she almost can't look.
What was
at
nice
him.
About that, from a film point of view, was when she found out, she, one, covered it, but you could see the heartbreak inside, and two, in that shot in the bedroom, when she was very upset, it was a wide. Mm. And they obviously played that quite... They obviously said, we're going to do one or two takes of this. Because it didn't feel like they overshot it. It felt like it was very painful for her. It was the most honest part of that film, I think, for me.
I thought that as well. Well, we already know, don't we? As soon as she opens the wrapper and we see that it's an album, we already know the necklace.
We know who it, and we know who it's going
to. She doesn't need to spell anything out.
The other powerful part of that story strand for me is when they're walking together and she says, what would you do if you were in my position?
So they've gone to the children's nativity, haven't they?
Yeah.
And at the very end of it, when you're walking away, she grabs him.
And
that
she
moment.
Says, what would you do if you were in my position? And he kind of goes, eh? And she goes,
is
would
it just
you
a necklace?
Wait around and find out if it's just a necklace? Would you wait around and find out if it's sex and a necklace? Or worst of all, would you find out if it's love and a necklace? And that, and he just goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she just walks away from him and goes to the kids and goes, "Come on, kids.
Yeah.
Dad's coming home later." Like, and that,
that was the bit for me out of the whole film where it became a real film and not a Christmas movie, movie.
A real love story as well, because it happens.
But Rickman was very good, because he looked, you know,
he didn't look like he was really into the girl.
No.
You know, the secretary.
No.
But,
no. But enough.
Enough.
Was
she
enough.
Was giving him it and giving him it and giving him it. And she,
mentally, yeah. He'd gone there. Mm. And I think that was probably what Emma Thompson's character was alluding to. Is it just sex, or have you mentally left us? Because if you've mentally left us, then that breaks my heart. But if it's just a necklace and a bit of stupid flirting, well then... But that was the most real I've seen her. One of the most real I've seen. She's very, very good.
She was very good.
But compared with the other couples, which were good, but a bit more lighthearted, and it didn't feel as weighty. Mm. Hers was the one in the Bridgewater Hall. No one was dancing jump to that, were they?
Well, speaking of the other stories, my other favourite was her brother, our Prime Minister.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant.
He's the iconic poster boy of that film. That of him dancing to Jump For Your Love, that's the iconic bit.
Which Hugh Grant hated, by the way. Did you know that?
Did he?
He wanted it cut from the film, apparently. He didn't like the whole dancing to jump because he didn't believe the Prime Minister would do that. Which...
The Prime Minister probably wouldn't.
And to be fair, when he's doing it, he looks like he doesn't want to do it. I mean, his dancing's poor, but he looks like... He's a bit like.
I think he's very good though. I think it's very good.
Yeah, I think it is a good scene, to be fair, and it's good actually when he does get caught.
Yeah,
and he immediately snaps back into Prime
Chinese
role,
ambassador.
And he goes, what time's the Chinese ambassador coming round?
Can we rearrange it to two?
Yeah.
Never quite believe him
as Prime Minister or as an actor.
No, as in Hugh.
Is Hugh got as a sort of actor and also. That
Mint
Prime
Paddington.
Minister.
Paddington.
Paddington, very good.
Very good.
But that's the bitter actor coming out. That's there, isn't it? And I like that. That's
what,
the truthful bit.
He plays an actor.
Well, I don't think
but
he's
a slightly
scared.
Bitter actor. He doesn't want to act, does he? Really, I don't think anymore. I don't think he really wants to do it.
He's just collecting.
I think he's just... Because that's why he was so good in that. He got a part where... I just got the feeling when he was doing Love Actually, he was a bit like, I don't really believe this. I don't really believe I'd fall in love with Martine McCutcheon. I'm not really the... I don't know. It didn't feel like as invested as someone like...
Yeah.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Or Liam Neeson invested a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that story was very good. I thought he played it very well. Him and Emma Thompson were very good together.
Yeah. They're friends.
Friends. They were friends. He was good. He felt something.
Well, Liam Neeson obviously widowed at the start of the film. And the kind of main love story in his strand is his son.
Yes.
And Joanna.
Yeah.
Who had just been on, I didn't know this, she was on Celebrity X Factor. She got booted out in the first week.
Wow, what a pie, because she had a cracking voice.
She was at the end
of the nativity, big part.
She did really well. The poor girl,
they were following her, weren't they, on the old violin tour. Here we go. I don't like this bit.
But the poor girl is outshadowed by her mum, isn't she, when she's singing, and the girl who plays
her mum's
mum
famous
cracks.
Though isn't she,
yeah, but I don't know who it is.
Who's
her
mum?
Singer who went over to the backing singer, who was a mum, and the backing singer suddenly gives it
the full gums.
And blows the kid away. Right, that's you done. I'm in this film. You're a bit part. So she went on Celebrity X Factor and got Labin first week.
Oof.
Oosh.
She was the first to go.
Oh, my word. 16 years ago, you were singing on Love Actually. Now, bin. That's harsh.
Well.
Well, showbiz.
Showbiz. She didn't sing that. Did she sing that?
No, on X. I don't know. I don't know what she sang. I didn't watch it. I've just been told. That was my mum giving me the old background knowledge.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Very good with the orchestra, didn't it? Fitted in very well.
Talking about that more, Love Actually, one thing that's standing out is how that film, the music tells the story.
Well, the sound didn't, did it? There was a bit of a problem with the sound in the auditorium.
I think it's because of the venue and the acoustics that they were having to do the dialogue of the film over the top of the orchestra.
Yeah.
Which the orchestra sounded mint, but the speakers for the dialogue weren't as good as what they were.
Yeah,
for
it must be hard to balance.
Sort of, yeah.
Because the orchestra, you'd rather have them mint, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Because
the rest of it, you realise so much of it, the last 10 minutes is pictures and music, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Jack, your favourite couple?
I mean, mine was the Emma Thompson and Rickman. I think you also have to mention Colin Firth's character.
You thought you were Colin Firth, didn't you?
I think. What we tried to do while we were watching the film is we tried to pick a character that was that most like ourselves.
No.
Right, listen.
No,
listen.
You wanted to be.
I know I wanted to be. Because he's
picked
the
Colin
most.
Firth.
I went, I'm Colin Firth. I'm the most gentleman guy. He's been
unlucky. I also thought I was Colin Firth.
And he finds this
person.
Yeah, you
said you were. You're way
off. No chance.
You were Colin, the young kid.
I was not.
You're
Colin. That's you're done, Colin. Dusted. Colin Firth. Get back to Colin Firth.
Colin Firth. I wanted to be him. But it turns out I wasn't, and I was told I'm Bill Nighy.
I forgot about that. We shot you right down, didn't we?
And even my girlfriend, who we went to the film with.
Yes, she went. Ah,
she went. No, you're Bill Nighy. Yes. Definitely.
Ah, you're Bill Nighy.
Yeah,
I got.
You're Alan Rickman.
I got Alan Rickman, and no one argued. It wasn't even like it was a chat. Oh, and you're Alan Rickman, Ben. Done.
Fine.
Like that was the way
it was
always going to be.
That was it.
We could compare the flat to you being Liam Neeson and me being Sam.
You always playing your drums. You did fall out of bed the other night and woke me up.
Yeah, like 4 a.m.
Like 4 a.m. You had a bit of a Bangkok dream and woke up.
I did like the story where he. I liked the dialogue, really, that Richard Curtis had wrote between those two characters where they actually don't speak the same language, but they still talk.
Oh, that
can't
was good.
Do that,
was
that quietly.
What's that?
It came through the headphones.
I did a wee-wee. that was good. That was good.
That they're that both talking to each other and neither of them can understand each other, but what they're saying is they're comfortable with saying it.
So hold
they
on.
Know,
they don't know the other person.
Hold on. Yeah. Colin Firth has found out his wife was sleeping with his brother, so he goes off. He's a writer. Mm. He goes off to Italy. Or France, but she's Portuguese. Yeah. He gets a new housekeeper. She's Portuguese, speaks no English.
Aralona?
He speaks.
Aralona?
No. Ari.
Doesn't matter. We'll just embarrass ourselves. Yeah.
Aurelia.
Aurelia.
Thank you. And she doesn't speak any English. He doesn't speak any Portuguese, but they start to fall in love.
Mm.
And the bit you're talking about is they're both expressing their love. In their own language.
Yeah.
But obviously.
But they feel safe because the other one doesn't understand it. And they're not going to get embarrassed if she goes.
That was a good bit of writing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
Very good.
It's good as well when they're saying opposite things after the book, where she's saying, perhaps you could write a character after me.
And he says, maybe I'll name a character.
And then she goes, you could give me 50% of the profits. And he goes, maybe I could give you 1% of the profits.
Because he's writing on the edge of a lake. He's put his coffee mug on top of all his manuscripts. He's writing paper. She picks the coffee mug up.
Go everywhere.
All the scripts go into the river. Mm. She takes off all her clothes, apart from Brian Pansy's. Jumps in. But what was the good bit was she was in Portuguese saying, I hope this book's good.
Yeah.
Because I'm freezing.
And then he's saying English. It's not even worth it. It's hardly Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And then she says, watch out for the eels, and he says, I hope there's no eels in here.
It's very good, it's clever.
I mean, I think Richard Curtis is a little bit of a genius anyway. Like, I like most of his rom-coms.
Well, interestingly, he was writing two separate films. One for Hugh Grant's character, the Prime Minister that falls in love with someone, and Colin Firth's character, who is unlucky in love.
Yeah.
And meets him. So he was writing two films, and then he felt a natural joining of the same stories, and that's when he came up with the idea for Love Actually.
Because they filmed two other stories as well, didn't they, that never got shown, that got cut?
Well, the porn story, you know, the couple who...
Martin Freeman and the girl from
Gavin and Stacey.
Gavin and Stacey.
So Universal said to Richard Curtis, I think if we're going to make more money on this film, you need to cut those scenes because there's nudity in the scenes throughout. And he said, we'd make like $50 million more if you cut those scenes. And Richard Curtis refused because he said, as a teenager growing up, he only went to the cinema to see nudity. So he would do in his younger self...
A favour?
Yeah, type thing.
Wow. I think there was a lesbian couple that got cut, and one of them was quite a big actress. Because Richard Curtis has only watched Love Actually twice. Once at the premiere and then once last year. Because he did a whole article where he answered the questions and told like some stories about
Love Actually. I wonder if he put it on
Love
at Christmas.
Actually. I think he watched it on Christmas Eve with his wife. And it was the first
time
he'd seen
it. She was the script editor, wasn't she, Emma Freud?
Yes. And his mum and dad, when Hugh Grant walks into the Downing Street for the first time, his mum and dad are the house staff.
Oh.
They had to do something like 40 takes on his mum because she kept smiling and looking at the camera.
Looking down the line.
It was good. There was a nice little ad lib there, wasn't it, by Martine McCutcheon and her, when the Prime Minister went off. And she went, oh, are you all right, dear? And she says something. She
did you see what I did? And she went, yeah, love, I did.
Yes.
Oh, is that his mum?
Yeah.
They had a proper ad lib. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet. So Bill Nighy's character
best
was
character.
Interesting.
I mean... In terms of stories, he's the best character. He's
Bill
the funniest to watch. Yes.
His story is the only story that doesn't
interact with
anyone else.
No.
I feel it in my fingers.
So Bill Nighy is a rock star.
I feel
it
in my toes. Christmas is all around me. So come on, let it snow. This is shit. Solid gold shit, my friend. I know most of the words, actually, to the whole thing.
Really?
Film. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You.
No, you're kidding me. You should have been on the stage with the old timpani. The old. You could have done the harp.
If they went...
Do you remember you hit me. You gave me the sly nudge, Jacko, and you went, she's on the harp. Yeah. She was giving it the full means of the harp. She was giving it the full...
Both hands.
What was a bit weird was, when you're watching the screen... I forgot there was an orchestra there.
Yeah,
and then the music's there. And you're like, oh.
It's coming from that.
She really is playing that.
Yeah.
It's like exactly like we were watching.
Like it's faultless. It's like you're watching the film. And then you look at the orchestra and you go.
Bill Nighy's character was good. Fallen pop star. Going for Christmas number one. Didn't do the correct PR stuff. Said it was a load of shit, the song.
Mm. But worked.
But worked. And he gets the Christmas number one.
Mm. Yeah.
He gets invited to all these famous parties, and in the end, the only person he wants to spend it with is his fat manager, as he said,
other manager. Yeah, yeah.
And they spend Christmas together. That was a nice little story.
Yep.
And it was on its own.
Yeah.
And they didn't cut any of that, and that worked. Other stories didn't work so well, did
they? Which ones?
The American woman I didn't like.
You didn't like Carl. Carl and...
See, I kind of liked that.
I just didn't think... I suppose the love part was her love for her brother. It just didn't work for me.
And about how her love for her
brother...
Why,
do you think she shouldn't have answered the phone?
I just think she answered it too quickly. She'd been waiting for this guy all this time. And it was a bit crass when she said, oh, no, I'm not up to anything. She didn't at one time look at him and go, I'm really torn here. And then he was in that hospital and you thought, would he be able to ring up any time in a secure unit of a hospital? It just felt a bit like... The Liam Neeson, the Emma Thompson, the Bill Nighy, the Hugh Grant even, very, very strong. That wasn't as strong for me.
Is it not the bit, though, on that about how her love is for her brother and
no, no. I saw the point of where the love was. I just didn't think it was as rounded as it could have been as a story.
What about the story that always gets the housewives talking, which is Andy Lincoln and Keira Knightley?
Carol
singers at the door, CD player.
I mean, everyone loves that. That's iconic again, isn't it?
It's an iconic scene in the film, because I think...
How long does it take?
Because I couldn't get them. Carry on. You're going to have one now. They're good. Coulson, do you want one?
Wine gum.
You'll be fine with one, I promise you. No one's got food poisoning from a wine gum.
I'm all right.
All right, fine.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm not going to twist your arm.
Right, carry on. Housewife's favourite, Andy Lincoln, outside.
CD player, say it's Carol Singers. He moves the signs and says, this is what I think about you, blah, blah, blah. Now, all the housewives love it because they think it's really romantic. I think it's a little bit fucking weird that a guy has been stalking this girl and has been video recording her and filming her.
Yeah.
Turns up at a door
and
has boards out and says how desperately in love he is with her. And... then walks off in the street with silent night. I think it's a bit weird.
And then he says...
I don't think there's anything romantic about
that. He says to himself, it's over now. And then he gets the sympathy peck, doesn't he?
Well, she runs out...
I'll tell you what, it wasn't much of a peck. She went full on the... And I was like, oh, wow, you'd be gutted. He's got no chance. He's got the tape machine out. He's written those drawings. He said how much he's loving. She's given the... Ooh, this is a just friend's kiss.
Yeah.
Oosh.
It's a big kiss.
It's now, a big kiss, but it is a just friend's kiss.
So I'm her husband sat on the couch watching Match at Day.
Yeah.
And I've just found out that my best friend's come
around.
Yeah,
but you don't know.
No, 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 no.
He thinks it's Carol Singers.
I know he does. But just say you find out at a dinner party years later, oh, it's my best friend and he's come and declared his love for you and you've ran out in the street, snogged him. You've cheated on me. I mean, that's it. That's
we
it.
Can see where Shepherd goes now.
He's
never going to find out.
Andy Lincoln, who's the actor in the film, didn't like that scene because he thought it was a bit stalkerish as well.
It is a bit shit. It's obviously the story.
It's not shit, but it is stalkerish. It's iconic.
To you.
Maybe that's why I'm unlucky in love. Every time.
Hold on, love. Carol Singers, hold the fuck on. I've got 10 cards here. Don't stop me. You wouldn't be able to read your writing.
No.
You wouldn't be able to spell.
I'd do it with a poster.
You'd have to do it on your phone.
Note.
I hold your phone. Love. No, I wasn't that. That is housewives, right? Some girls in front of us.
That's the full
absolutely love. They love
the
that.
Cheese. That.
Well,
they were screaming.
Your girlfriend and her sister got their phones out and recorded that bit.
Yeah, they did.
They loved it. To be fair, they had a great night, didn't they?
They did.
And actually,
it was very much one sort of audience.
Yeah.
Like I was the only 21-year-old male there.
You were. You were.
Yeah.
To be fair, good for you.
We were probably the biggest group of lads there as well.
Us three. But we've got girls, we were covering ourselves. But I got a lot of enjoyment from seeing the girls enjoy it, to be fair.
The whole auditorium enjoyed themselves.
Oh, they did. By the end.
Standing ovation.
I'll tell you what I loved was the bit in the interval when the orchestra stood up to get the bow. They do a bow to get claps for the and everyone in Manchester in the Bridgewater, straight up, bar, go bar now, cue bar, pied the orchestra, not even a clap, straight to the bar. No, fucking bar. And then it was standing ovation at the end, apart from a few people who refused
and
then wouldn't get up.
And they wouldn't when everyone was stood up around
Is awkward.
We stood up.
Oh, standing ovation. It was
Ben Leddy.
Easiest standing. Hey, standing
first
ovation.
First person, Ben was up.
There were an older couple sat in front of me. Did you see them? They were dancing throughout the entire thing. In their chairs, moving from side to side.
Are they not the ones that left early?
No. They were an
she
old,
was hammered,
old
wasn't
couple.
She was
hammered. She had a full day. But towards the end of the film, just as the it finishes back at the airport, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And just as it was getting to that bit, it was really nice and a bit touching, actually, that the guy turned to his wife and he said, no, he did. He gave her a kiss and he said, thank you.
Oh,
imagine if he turned around and went, traffic's going to be bad.
Now, go. We'll never get an Uber. Go.
Like, Merry Christmas.
There was a lot of couples, arms around each other, the few kisses. You know, it's a film that brings it out in people. And it is, you know, It's a story of love, and it's also a story of happiness and heartbreak. Mm. And for me, I really like it. I love that opening monologue. Whenever I get down,
Jesus Christ.
About the state of the world.
We get it.
Yeah. I think about the Iranians getting
here we go. You were you did start off doing that in the film, and then you stopped that. After, because you felt so ill, you actually stopped it.
Yeah.
But you were mouthing the words, then you felt so ill, you went quiet. Then the interval was bad for you.
I nearly left in the interval.
You nearly left in the interval. And then the end was a bit of a down. You did the round of applause, but you went, I've got to go.
If it wasn't Love Actually, I'd have been gone. I felt like my brain was going to explode and I was going to be sick all over the entire auditorium.
I feel it. That would have been
in my toe.
All over the orchestra. As they... facts? Any Love Actually facts, Jack? Factoids?
I think I've said a few during the thing.
His parents were in it.
Yeah.
Two films. First film he directed.
Martin McCutcheon's character is called Natalie.
Yeah.
And was originally called Martine. But then Martine McCutcheon auditioned for the part and they wanted to give it her. So they thought, we can't call it Martine.
I wonder if he wrote it with her in mind.
No, he wrote Laurie Linney's character, the American, with her in mind.
Oh, did he?
And every time he auditioned people for that role, he went, yeah, she's good. She's just not
Laura
not
Linney.
Her. And then the casting director went, well, let's just audition her.
It's obvious, before we go into the ratings, how much that you enjoyed yourselves. As Jack's girlfriend said to Jack, you absolutely love that. And Jack said, yes, I did. And Ben was the first person to stand up in the standing ovation. So,
ovation. I don't know what you're on about. Two, are you trying to just basically try and blackmail us into a
high
score?
Do you want me to
zero.
Do the ratings
zero.
For you?
Zero, minus one. You go first, your film.
10 out of 10.
There we
ten
go.
10 out of 10, straight
it,
off.
It, just because it, the film's probably an 8 and the fact it had a live orchestra.
Good point. I like that, Jack. He's added 2 points for live orchestra. And to be fair, they were very good.
It's a one-off. It's
whoever
a Christmas
they were,
special.
They were very good.
And I've never watched a film that way
you
before.
You keep talking. I'm going to find out who the... We should say who the orchestra were, because they were that mint.
Okay.
You keep talking.
It's a Christmas special. I've never watched a film like that before with a live orchestra, so that's why.
For me, rating Christmas film, it's not one that I would normally watch at Christmas. However, having seen it again and not seen it for a number of years, and I thought the first time I saw it, it was just overkill of mush. I really did like... I liked more of the tragedy scenes. Before I saw the film, it was going to be like a 3.
What?
Because that's what I remember when I first watched it. I've since watched it again.
Ooh, the head's gone.
Easy. I'm going to up that 3.
Oh, 2. Oh, it's like a game show. I'm going to open that 3 to...
Because I've seen it again, and actually, it's well written. And for his first film that he's directed, I think he's done a bang-out job, actually, as Dickie Curtis.
Yeah,
I
like that as well, Dickie Curtis.
I think he's done well.
Hello, Coulson. We're climbing up the ladder. It's
well
not
written.
A 5. It's not a 5.
It's well acted.
Ooh, it's a 6. We're climbing up. Come on.
It's a 6. But because of the live orchestra... Hang on. It's a 6. Because of...
You were laughing your head off.
Listen! I've not finished!
It's a 6. His head's gone.
Because live orchestra's got to be an extra 3.
You get an extra 1. It's a 7. I think that's fair.
It's a load of shite, this podcast.
I think that's absolutely... Love Actually, 7. Steady away. You've got to take that. That's fair.
He held up.
I'm more on about your reaction during the film. we can watch.
I did love it. You did love it.
We watched bloody Rain Man, and you go from being morbid... And then we watch that, and you bloody jigging along, cheering, clapping, laughing.
Right. We're out at the theatre, basically, weren't we?
Oh, hold on. I know what's coming.
What?
You're with your girlfriend, so he's got to show...
Girlfriend's there.
Girlfriend's there, and she's watching him.
I might ring Annie now and tell her you give her a seven and see what she's
not. Well, no, he hasn't given her a seven. Right, I think we'd all be a bit frightened then.
I think seven...
I think she's a full ten. Don't go into numbers.
You can't.
Now.
I think that's steady away. Seven, Love Actually. I think that's strong.
Go on,
strong.
Ben.
Oh, I'm feeling a bit of pressure because
I have a little bit more respect for you at the minute.
You're slightly nasty about this now. I'd be much more harsh about that film without the orchestra and without the night. I'm going to take the film and the night together.
Good.
I don't like that film. I've never liked that film.
As an opening sentence.
I've never liked it. I don't like the writing. I don't like... the actors. I don't like all that cheesy shite. I just don't like it. I'm just like, I watch that and my eyes just
bleed.
Painful. However, I cannot deny it's a very well written film. It's very well directed. I don't like, for nothing else, Emma Thompson is magnificent. She killed it on that. Mm. Hugh Grant, Colin Firth, I could take or leave all day long. Mm. But she was brilliant.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go, and I can't even believe I'm about to say this because I hated it that much. Ooh. But on the night, I'm going to give it an 8.
Woo!
I'll tell you why.
You should hang yourself in.
No. I probably would give this film a 6 and 2 for the orchestra because I thought... they really, really made it.
There aren't many films that you can watch like that. Like, whoever came up with
the
that
other thing
idea,
as well, the other thing as well is, I can't deny, when I was in that auditorium and I looked round, everyone loved it. Mm. And I thought to myself, well, if that's a mark of a film that 16 years ago was made, how much are the tickets? So quite a lot of money.
70 quid.
70 quid. And you've got the live orchestra and it's packed. And you've got the girls on the left, had some drinks, loving it, jump for your love. And you've got the couple kissing. Mm. And everyone came out and I thought, do you know what? You paid your money. You've had a great night. Mm. And, you know, I thought to myself, what a well-constructed film. So I think that's where I am. So the points will be, you've got 10, 18.
At
27.
25
out of 30.
That's good. I
think that's very good. I think it was a very special with that orchestra. When they played that, even if I give it an extra point for when they played the Universal theme,
yeah.
I mean, that, my head fell right off.
Yeah, but come on. You're not going to give a point for that, surely.
Oh, I don't know. Bloody
9 for Love Actually.
No,
piss off.
No. I've stuck on the 8. But if I stick in a point for... I mean, fuck me, they've practised that. Jeez. Here we go. Can you imagine at this first orchestra thing? Oh, no, we're playing it all. Yeah, but not the Universal music. Oh, no, we're playing that as well. Mm. So,
that was a very good way to watch a film. The whole experience was enjoyable. And like I think you just touched on there, Ben... it is a film that makes people feel good. It brings people together.
Yeah, we've said that now. You're over-egging it now. You're over-egging it now. You've said a lot now. We've given it good marks.
It's not the Bible. Come on now.
Let's rein it back. No, rein it back now. Let's stop crying now.
All I was going to say is that Love Actually live in concert is on tour. So if you want to experience
it
for yourself.
Do you know what?
It is worth it.
It's definitely worth it.
It's definitely worth it. And that's not even like a plug. Because...
We
didn't want to go. It's a plug because it is actually mint.
It's all over the country. It's in the south. It's in the north. So if you can catch it, it's definitely a good night.
Partner or someone you're in love with, or someone you want to be in love with.
Yeah,
there you go.
Hello.
So earlier in the podcast, we touched on what characters we would have been in Love Actually. What we want you to do on Twitter and Instagram is comment what characters you would have think we were. So let us know if you think I really was Colin and if Jack really was Bill Knightley.
Bill Knightley?
Are you able to do this every time?
Change it.
Bill Knight. Right, what is your Christmas film?
Jack and I's Christmas film is Die Hard.
I think I've seen it. It's got a big tower and a tunnel.
No. There's no tunnel. You're thinking
That's the other one.
You're thinking of Die Hard with a Vengeance.
How many is there?
like four or five.
Actually, they're not bad when they get to four and five. No, I liked four.
I hate
it. I liked four.
No, it's awful. What, when he jumps in the helicopter and brings it down?
I love them all.
So what are we watching?
Die Hard.
We are watching Die Hard.
The original.
Bruce Willis.
Christmas film.
Does he have hair in it or bald?
Just
hair.
It is... Oh! And I'm in it.
Are you?
Yes.
You're in the first Die Hard?
Yes. Alan Rickman.
Join us next week for our last Christmas special of our one-off Christmas season.
Thank you.
God bless you. Now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about it.
Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.